We're at the Radio Festival this week, another Monday, another conference, and hot on the heels of Next Radio, we joined the delegates at the British Library for the second annual one-day festival organised by the Radio Academy.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hello, I'm Trevor Dan with a couple of observations before we hear some other views on the day. First, I did think it was well organised and it contained some highly watchable sessions. But I couldn't help wondering who the radio festival was for. The audience was packed with BBC managers and execs. There didn't seem to be anyone from Global Radio or the Wireless Group. And with a few notable exceptions, much of the conversation was about the future of public service broadcasting, not about radio as a whole. It wasn't entertainment. It was a chance for people from the radio industry to pat themselves on the back. But I didn't think I learned much. Anyway, that's enough dyspepsia from me. During the afternoon coffee break, I met up with veteran radio man John Myers, Rob Watt, one of this year's 30 Under 30, and our own Stuart Clarkson.
Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
I like it. I like it. I like the pace. I like the style of it. I like the fact there's not many questions, because it's often embarrassing, isn't it, when people wait for questions, the time you get your microphone there. And if the panel's been any good or the session's been any good, there shouldn't be that many questions left anyway. So I like it. I like the pace, like the style, like the venue. I like the new look about it, and they've modernised it a bit. So I think it's good.
What about you, Rob?
Well, it's the first time I've been, so I can't make any comparisons to the previous ones. But talking about the pace, absolutely, we like things running to time, and it appears to be doing that. And it does mean that if perhaps the session isn't to your taste, it doesn't last too long. We're talking 20 minutes a session or thereabouts. I've been enjoying that. I've been enjoying the surprises. We've had a fair few surprises during the course of the day. We had the Dead Ringers lot turning up. No one mentioned that the big boss, Tony Hall, was going to be appearing until he popped up on stage and introduced himself. Full of surprises, and like I say, it's going well.
Headlines for you, Stu?
I thought it was interesting to hear from the new Minister for Radio, Matt Hancock, who was speaking earlier on and announcing that there's going to be a consultation by the end of the year on deregulation, so changes to formats, changes to news provision, locality and commercial radio. I'm sure John's got a keen interest in Ofcom finally getting their arse and gear on that. The surprises, you know, the Brighouse and Rastrick band turning up and playing the floral dance in memory of Sir Terry. Yeah, so some really nice moments.
Rob, you're one of the younger members of this radio community and you're going to get your 30 Under 30 award. Congratulations for that, by the way. But do you feel part of a community? Does this feel like the radio industry all working together, or does it feel, as a few people have said to me, a bit BBC heavy?
Well, so they asked at one point for a show of hands on sort of commercial versus BBC, and it looked a little bit like it was about two-thirds of BBC people here. So, I mean, there is a BBC slant to the event. I haven't felt that from the speakers necessarily that's been the case. There's been some representation. We had Katie Hopkins from LBC, of course, but being faced down by Jane Garvey, of course, from the BBC. I don't think it's felt too BBC heavy. Do I feel part of a radio community? Well, I might do by the end of the day, it would seem, but maybe not necessarily before that.
What do you think, John? I mean, you and I both worked at and for the Radio Academy. It's a shame that Global aren't here, really, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, it is what it is. I never really get too wound up about it, really. You know, people make their decisions and that's it. They run their own companies. They're in their own world and good luck to them, you know. I think it is slightly BBC today, but I think that's two things. One, commercial radio probably hasn't got itself involved in the festival as much as it could or should do. But also, we're based in London, and there's a lot of BBC people in London, so it's easy for them to come out, etc., you know. And it's interesting, the sessions, a lot of nice surprises, I thought, but I would like to go back to the minister. I didn't think he was good, actually, the minister. And because he told us things, typically new ministers do this, don't they? They come and tell you things you already know, you know, because someone's written his script for him.
I was introduced to the man who'd written his script.
Yeah,
earlier,
no, were you? Yeah, but you know, you think to yourself, well, he's telling us, he's just done 20 minutes, and he's telling us things we already know about how important radio is. I mean, we're talking to a bunch of radio people. We know how important radio is. That's why we're here. You know, so we don't need the minister to tell us that. I mean, you know, there's going to be a thing about regulation, which, you know, I think most people in the industry would know that as well, so that's not a surprise. I think for me, I was hoping he was going to come and say something bit more revolutionary, you know, about the fact is, you know, the FM or digital switch-off debate, which is actually, I feel like I'm in another world at time, Trevor, you know, because it's like, did we not have this discussion 20 years ago?
We did.
You know, and the play of words, you know, when we get to 50%, we will consider, you know. So it's just la-la land. Do you not think when ministers come along and speak? He's a very nice guy, by the way, and he had a very nice suit and he looked good and he well, said nice things. But you know, as to what he's going to do for the radio industry, I haven't got one idea.
Well, we learned that he covered minority sports while working at a student radio station.
The lacrosse, didn't
it? Yeah. But seriously, in this debate, and you know, you've been someone who's new and in the industry and under 30, did that minister, the new minister, and by the way, he's only there till someone else kicks him off, all right, so God knows how long he's there, right? Did that minister, did you say, this guy has got his finger on the pulse and he is going to do something for radio? You don't have to be political on this podcast. You don't have to be political. Just say it.
What I suppose I didn't get an idea from him was any sort of vision for what the radio industry is going to look like in the years to come. I mean, his title is Minister of State for
Digital and Culture.
Digital and Culture. Why digital is a separate thing to culture, I'm not entirely sure. That to me suggests is a little regressive in itself. Did he inspire me? Probably not. But he had a daunting task. He was in a room full of radio industry bods, and he's the representative of the government. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just a little bit of damage limitation.
Yeah, if it was a daunting task, right, what I would have done, I'd have stood up and said, listen, I don't know enough about media, but my role over the next 6 months is to get to know about my door is open, come and talk to me. I know you've been speaking to ministers in the past, but I'm determined to do something. Come and talk to me because I don't know all the answers. If he said that, I think we would have thought, what, a minister who listens? This is new. So I do think that, I do think it's a shame we lost, you know, the previous minister, Ed. Yeah, that's a shame we lost Ed because I thought he was good and he understood the issues. This one, I think, let's just wait and see.
Now, talking of listening, some of the best tips happen not on the stage but off stage, Stuart. What have you learnt about what's going on at the BBC? Everyone's saying something's going to happen this week.
Yeah, there's quite a few rumours flying about.
Would you like to tell us what some of them are?
Well, there's been a little bit of talk about the radio directorate for a while and Helen Bowden's position within that. And I think there's been some stuff in the Telegraph and some of the other papers speculating. And I think we could see some changes coming very soon.
Possibly this week.
Possibly this week to BBC Radio. It's been muted that Helen might be leaving the Beeb and that the radio division might be going in with some other divisions under James Purnell. And there's been a rumour going about that for a long time. So we might start seeing some changes on that. There's nothing kind of concrete and there's nothing really come out about that here at the festival, but watch this space.
Let's just go back to Rob. You're, as I said, a 30 under 30. What on earth persuaded you to join this industry, which all these people keep telling us is utterly moribund and is not enjoyed at all by people of your age?
Oh, well, I much like the minister, started off in student radio. I went to university thinking I'd like to be a journalist, and I'd only really thought of print journalism, but I went to my local paper, and people there seemed unhappy, discontent. They had no confidence in the future of their medium. So I thought, oh, maybe that isn't what I want to do. Radio hadn't really crossed my mind as being a journalist in radio until I read my first bulletin on the student radio. I thought, oh, this is lovely. Yeah, I want to do this.
I thought Katie Hopkins was very good. I really did.
That's
because
your politics chimes entirely with hers. Fascist bastard.
Well, actually, how dare you even propose to know my politics, is it? No, I thought she was very good in the fact that she knew what she was here to do. She was here to, I thought the fact that she stood up without notes and just walked about and said what she had to say, it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree. There are thousands of people like Katie in America on American radio. There's not in the UK. And I thought she was very good as a presenter. She was a fabulous addition to the lineup. And whether you agreed what she said or not, she was great radio festival material. And for that, I thought she livened it up, you know. And it's people like that that, if we're going to encourage the radio festival to grow, we need more people like that who's actually not afraid to say what they really want to say. And I enjoyed the session. I thought the remembrance bit with Terry Wogan and all those characters, so many people I've worked with, that was a very, very moving moment. But more importantly, I just think when you look at the people who are here at the festival, it's a shame, isn't it, that we're not a very big community. And what do we have to do to get everybody back in the room on the same hymn sheet, all talking about the future of radio for the good of radio, regardless of politics? I'd really love to see that in future years.
We've got to let Rob go because the next session's about to start. But John, while I've got you here, you're disappearing before our eyes. You're looking very well.
Thank you very much. I think in 9 years, that's the first compliment I've ever had from you. I've lost 9 stone, so I feel a lot better. My suits are now housing families at Calais. And I'm just enjoying being able to climb stairs now without being on gas and air for 10 minutes afterwards. So I'm enjoying it. I did it all in 23 weeks. I went to a special clinic, and in 23 weeks I lost 9 stone, so I feel a lot better.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for coming on the Radio Today programme, and many more.
Thank you very much indeed, and good luck to Radio Today.
Thank you so much. I think we'll have the news now with Stuart Clarkson, but not now, because you're going to have to go away and record it tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, here's me in my dining room at home.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
Yes, hello, it's me again with this week's radio industry news, and we'll start with some of the stories coming out of Monday's radio festival. Helen Bowden confirmed that she is retiring, but there was no announcement as to when she was asked about it on stage at the British Library. So we're still waiting for that announcement and what it will mean for the future of the BBC's radio division. We heard from the new minister responsible for radio, Matt Hancock, who said there'll be a consultation before the end of the year on proposals for deregulation on formats, local news and local production in commercial radio. And as Ofcom published its report on the small-scale DAB trial, the minister welcomed the success of the mini-muxes and promised legislation at the earliest opportunity for the licensing and regulation of more, adding there'd be a light-touch approach. And 3 fellowships were awarded at the Radio Festival this year, the highest honour the Radio Academy can bestow. Congratulations go to Stephanie Hurst, Jane Garvey and Rachel Steele. The Director General and the Brighouse and Rastrick Band made surprise appearances at the festival too, alongside Dermot O'Leary, to pay tribute to Sir Terry Wogan. Then on Tuesday, hundreds of friends, colleagues and listeners joined Sir Terry's family in Westminster Abbey for a service of thanksgiving for his life. Also this week, News Corp completed its takeover of Wireless Group, with talent sharing, cross-promotion of brands and significant opportunities to grow reach in the world of sport and entertainment, cited by the company as the main benefits for the takeover. Watch this space for developments in the coming months. It's going to be an interesting time to see what they do with TalkSport in particular, and how that can tie in with the News Corp paper The Sun and within the wider Murdoch empire, Sky Sports. James Whale is back at Hatfields 8 years after being sacked by TalkSport. He's covering Drive on Talk Radio for a few days this week, just days after leaving his BBC Essex breakfast show, where he's been for the last 2.5 years. And there have been tributes this week to the BBC Radio Ulster presenter and journalist Paddy O'Flaherty, who's died age 73 in a long career. He'd also worked at Downtown Radio. And those are this week's big stories from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stu. And I must say, the Wogan Memorial Service at Westminster Abbey was a terrific experience. I was lucky enough to be seated in Poet's Corner right behind the orchestra, with a great view of Katie Mellower, Joanna Lumley and all the other performers. But the standout moment for me was Peter Gabriel reprising this Randy Newman song from the soundtrack of Babe.
A kind and steady heart is sure to see you through. A little courage goes a long, long way, gets you a little bit further down the road each day. And before you know it, you'll hear someone say, "That'll do, that'll do, that'll do, babe, that'll do." Now
That'll do by Peter Gabriel. Respects to Terry, and no respect to whoever decided not to invite Tony Blackburn. Poor judgment, I thought. Anyway, after this, David Lloyd.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
Changes in DAB. This week, 3 years ago, the regional multiplexes were closing, paving the way for more local networks and that second national commercial multiplex. But meanwhile, listeners who'd got used to some digital services had to get unused to them, for a while at least.
Hi, just a quick message to let you know that in a few days you'll no longer be able to listen to Choice on DAB in this area. But there's still loads of ways to listen to Choice. You can find us on your digital TV, you can listen live and listen back at choicefm.com, you can also download our Choice app from your app store and have us in your pocket.
Farewell to regional DAB in the West Midlands this week in 2013. And it was 21 years ago when the BBC had proudly announced its DAB future.
The third age of radio arrived today. That's how the BBC described its launch of a new system known as digital audio broadcasting. DAB will offer listeners high-quality sound, free from interference. But the new radios needed to receive the service cost more than £700 each and won't be in the shops for 2 years.
The problem with FM is, though it provides good quality stereo sound at home, it was never intended for the car. That means it's subject to a lot of interference, and on a long journey you have to change channel several times.
21 years on now, and DAB's solved everything for us, hasn't it? News from this week in 1995. Nick Grimshaw is the current Radio 1 breakfast host, and his stint began this week 4 years ago.
So this is happening. This is actually happening. Good morning, Great Britain, and welcome to this, a brand new breakfast show on BBC Radio 1. Hi, my name is Nick Grimshaw. Good morning, everybody. It's just gone 6:30. And I'm going to be here on air with you until 10 a.m, Monday to Friday, for I don't know how long, really, just until the country uprises and I get thrown back to the night time. But for now, it's time to follow in the footsteps.
Well, as it turns out, the country has had an uprising of sorts, but he's still on the radio. Grimmers with his Radio 1 breakfast debut this week in 2012. This week in 1955, a programme began on the home service, which remains to this day. Here's Kenneth Matthews.
I was called into the editor's office one day and told, we're getting a lot of stuff in from correspondence which is wasted because there's no room for it in the news bulletins. We should like you put some of it together and we'll give you once a week half an hour to set this out and use it. But I discovered almost immediately that you can't make a program out of somebody else's waste products, and I got permission to ask the correspondents to contribute directly and specially to this programme.
Known internally as Fook, From Our Own Correspondent began on the BBC this week 61 years ago. In January this year, we lost Terry Wogan, and it's exactly 50 years since he made his BBC debut down the line for the Light programme.
Now we have the Ludlows to sing For All the Boys I Left Behind in St. Luke's ward of the Nace Hospital, especially 7-year-old Sam Ellis, and the wonderful medical staff, especially Nurse Carol and Nurse Parr and Mari, from an ex-patient who is 7 weeks there, that's Tony Dunn, who writes from Athy. For Noel Rooney, aged 5, who's in St. Roach's...
Terry Wogan on RTE at the beginning of 1966, and this week that year he appeared on the BBC Light programme for the first time, hosting Midday Spin. Another veteran broadcaster hosted his last show this week 2 years ago. Dewi Griffiths hosted his last Radio Wales show after 60 BBC years.
Will I be coming back for the odd occasion? I don't think so. 60 years and 4 months. That'll be on my plaque in my house when I put up the wreath of roses, saying I'm not dead, just retired.
Dewi Griffiths. Peter Powell was a name familiar to Radio 1 listeners, and he waved farewell this week 28 years ago.
We are going to miss you a lot. You've been great fun, and you've always had a good thing to say for everybody. So thanks a lot, Pete. And we wish you lots of luck, mate.
We've had some laughs.
Yeah, we have. One other thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the studio there is that special phone.
Yeah.
The telephone, which sometimes the punters can get through to us, and a lot of time we DJs use ourselves.
Yeah.
You know that phone? We have a surprise for you. It is your telephone bill for all the personal calls you've made over the last 11 years at Radio 1. £16,473, you have one phone call left.
In-jokes are always the best, aren't they? Mind you, we all know presenters who spend most of the time on the phone doing other business whilst they should be on air, don't we? Memories of 1988 as Peter Powell left Radio 1 after 11 years. 1946 now, and the BBC launches its third programme. The BBC DG back then was Sir William Hayley, and he wanted to appear on it.
It was some 23 months ago, while the war was still at its height, that the BBC announced that within 90 days of whenever the war with Germany ended, it would revert to a regionalised home service and would start a new light programme. It also said that 9 months after that, that's to say 1 year from the end of fighting in Europe, a new third programme would be introduced, provided wavelengths could be found. The first part of the timetable was kept with 8 days to spare. I don't think it's still sufficiently realised what an undertaking that was. Had the wavelength position been simple, it could be held that with the second part of the assignment, we're 4.5 months
late. And so he went on for a quarter of an hour.
But the wavelength position has been...
Goodness gracious... It wasn't very busy back then, was it? The DG's job, clearly. The third programme, which evolved eventually into Radio 3, launching this week 70 years ago. A national chart for commercial radio seems an obvious idea, but the network was 11 years old before it hit the air.
Hi there, it's David Kidd Jensen here with the very first network chart show coming at you right across the nation on independent radio. Now, every Sunday afternoon from 5 till 7, I'm going to be counting up the 30 records that make up our exclusive network chart. The records you buy and the records you listen to on your independent station. We've been testing this chart over the last 6 weeks, and three big hit records that have been featuring in that time that have dropped...
The first network chart, as it was called on commercial radio this week, 32 years ago. And finally, this week in 1967, saw the launch of Radio 1, so next year sees its 50th anniversary. But less often talked about is its sister station, Radio 2, which launched that same day. Both carved out of the old light programme and sharing a lot of programmes during the day back then too.
This is BBC Radio 2, the light programme, and on 1500 metres long wave and VHF with Radio 1 on 247 metres. Good morning. This is Paul Hollingdale on this opening day of Radio 1 and Radio 2, welcoming you to Breakfast Special, which will be broadcast on the usual light programme wavelengths up to 7 o'clock. But at 7, well, Breakfast Special continues on Radio 2 on 1500 metres and VHF.
A first good morning from Radio 2 this week in 1967. And if anyone ever asks you, the first song was The Sound of Music.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
So, with Swansea Sound launching this week 42 years ago.
For the very first time that this is Swansea Sound on 257 metres.
Les Ross leaving BRMB Breakfast 14 years ago.
I haven't done the emotional bit.
Charlotte Green realising a dream 3 years ago.
It is an iconic 5 minutes, the signature tune, then you've got the results.
And the two Northern Kiss stations becoming Galaxy 19 years ago.
Kiss 105.
Those are this week's radio moments.
David Lloyd's Radio.
Thanks, David. Thank you, Roger Cutsforth and the Radio Festival team. Next week, we'll have some of the interviews which were being recorded at the event by a British Library team looking into the future of radio. Join me for that if you can. Some very interesting views. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor Dan. Thank you for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.